This is Hoosier Ag This Week, a recap of the week's farm news and markets and the latest Indiana farm forecast from Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. I'm Andy Eubank from Hoosier Ag Today.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. We hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving with friends and family and the big meal that you likely spent more on this year than last year. That story is on the way. Also, a major farmer event is coming back in early 2022. Andy has a preview of Commodity Classic.
Also, quite a Friday in the markets the day after Thanksgiving. We'll detail all of that. But first, Eric, how about more supply chain issues? They're not just impacting the availability of Christmas gifts, but also crucial ag inputs.
Yeah, Andy, we've talked on this program before about how the supply chain issues are impacting fertilizer prices. They're skyrocketing for 2022, but fertilizer prices aren't the only ones going up. Herbicide prices are on the rise as well, and availability will be limited. Purdue University professor of weed science, Dr. Bill Johnson, says there are many reasons for the price hike and shortage.
Not being able to get containers unloaded at the ports, to a shortage of trucks and truck drivers to get them to the formulation plants, to shortages of the formulation materials, to even shortages of the materials that they're packaged in. So it's kind of all over the board. And this is kind of what happens when 80% of your main active ingredient, glyphosate, comes from overseas. It's going to be subject to a number of different things that can affect the availability of this product to the growers.
With glyphosate in short supply, Johnson talks about what's happening to prices.
We're already on November 22nd, we're hearing about glyphosate prices at $60 a gallon. 18 months ago, glyphosate prices were $10 a gallon. So it's increased by sixfold in just 18 months. We're hearing that by the time we get to delivery next spring, it could be as high as $80 a gallon. We're also hearing that many of the retailers are not going to set a glyphosate price until they actually have the inventory on their docks.
Johnson says growers have already placed a high demand on storing their own herbicides so they have it available for next season, and retailers now have practically empty warehouses. Johnson puts that in perspective, saying even the farm stores are starting to ration glyphosate sales.
I was down at Rural King yesterday. Rural King limits customers to two and a half gallon jugs of glyphosate per customer per day. So they are already rationing glyphosate out of the farm stores on more consumer-sized containers.
Johnson says we'll need to be less reliant on glyphosate and glufosinate in 2022.
So one way to reduce reliance on those active ingredients is, let's say in soybeans, plan on only being able to make one trip over the field with glyphosate. If you think about our typical soybean production system that we've had in place for 25 years, there's two, maybe three applications of glyphosate made to every acre of soybeans that has the Roundup Ready trait in it. If we can reduce the reliance down to one application, we could cut reliance across the soybean growing region by at least 50%. So one of the ways that you do that is you increase the reliance on residual herbicides. So full rates of residual herbicides and picking the active ingredients that are designed to control the weeds on that acre is one way to do that.
Johnson joins Purdue Extension soybean specialist Sean Castile and corn specialist Dan Quinn in the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast and goes much more in-depth on the herbicide shortage we are seeing right now. You can find that at HoosierAgToday.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Sticking on the supply chain and the challenges that it has been presenting for every sector of U.S. agriculture, one Senate Republican wants answers. Joni Ernst from Iowa says she and her colleagues have asked the USDA and Secretary Tom Vilsack to look into the supply chain crisis.
We have called on him to address some of the issues in the supply chain crisis. And so I sent a letter to our Ag Committee Chairwoman, Debbie Stabenow, asking for a hearing with Secretary Vilsack at USDA to examine the recent supply chain crisis and to also probe deeper into the Biden administration's plan to address supply chain failures as it relates to our ag industry. So we're really asking them to come forward. Let's be transparent. Let's talk about what's going on and the solutions to what we're experiencing in the supply chain. This is a crisis. it is an urgent crisis, and we need to know how Secretary Vilsack is going to address this.
Ernst says she isn't sure why the issue keeps dragging on with no apparent solutions in sight.
This is where the Biden administration and Secretary Vilsack will point the finger and say it's all COVID-19. But if you take a look at a much broader spectrum, the overregulation of industry and our labor shortages are really being exacerbated by their policies. And they are as much, or in some cases, even more to blame than the pandemic for this crisis. So a lot of the policies that have been put in place encourage people to stay home rather than returning to work.
Ernst adds that the situation has no chance of getting fixed if people aren't getting back to work.
If you don't have folks working, making goods, delivering goods, we know that the supply chain crisis is going to continue. So it is time that Secretary Vilsack come before the Ag Committee. He's only been in front of us one time this year, and he did it virtually. And so it's time he actually comes to the Senate and faces the committee. We need solutions. We need them to understand that we are very concerned about this crisis right now.
Supply chain disruptions will be the focus of the Indiana Ag Policy Forum later this week. We'll have more on that later on in the show.
Eric Pfeiffer on those reports, and Eric, thank you for that. I'm Andy Eubank, checking into the Friday markets now. With the new strain of coronavirus reported from South Africa, fear took over the marketplace, stocks extremely weak, crude oil way down, and the grain markets fell as well. A silver lining there, the corn market turned around and ended higher, new highs too. Following trade, I checked in for market analysis with Bob Utterback, Utterback Marketing Services. Bob, this Friday trading session is really a lesson about low volume, high volatility during holiday trade, but also fear in the futures market and how everything can be so tied together.
It is absolutely a case. I was telling some clients earlier in the week, if you got good profits, you might just want to go sidelines. Just be cautious. And I've seen this over the years, day after Thanksgiving and day after Christmas, sometimes a very erratic, very thin trade. And if anything fundamentally hits, it could have a pronounced impact. And then what the fundamental that hit the market today is really being magnified is the variant that is occurring in South Africa is now more contagious than the Delta variant of the COVID problem. And already, Europe is basically banning flights to South Africa, and everybody is afraid that this could be another phase or a lockdown going into winter. You got Michigan reporting big cases, so I think everybody's getting fearful, and with the supply channel already showing some difficulty of getting product shipped, supplies are going to get even tighter, price inflation is going to increase.
Bob Utterback there, 800-832-1488, that's the number at Utterback Marketing Services. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, a partial day of trade, but very volatile in commodities and equities, and the ag markets in some cases survived. Corn, a big turnaround. December goes to 586 and three quarters, up 7 points, a 20-cent turnaround off the low. 6 and a quarter up on the March contract, 591 and three quarters. Beans came off the low as well, but still down 13 and three quarters on January, 1252 and three quarters. March contract, 1263 off 14 and a quarter. December wheat, 825 and a half, 11 and a quarter lower. Pretty flat overall throughout the day in the cattle market. December goes to 138.10, up 20 cents, but some steep losses by the end in the lean hog market. December 73.20, down 222. You are up to date on the markets. I'm Andy Eubank on Hoosier Ag This Week.
For nearly a century, your local farmer-owned cooperative has served this community by delivering outstanding customer service, industry expertise, quality products, and leading-edge technology to our agriculture and energy partners. Today, we're committed to cultivating success in the communities we call home by providing America's farmers with the supplies and outstanding service they need to do their part to feed the world. Agronomy, liquid fuels, home heat, grain marketing, animal nutrition, feed, and more. CoAlliance, your local farmer-owned cooperative, continues to be your resource for whatever the day, month, or season brings your way.
Temperatures riding the old roller coaster again here over the next week to 10 days. Moisture Not huge, but there's some around. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to get your seed guide with pricing. Taking a look at action as we see it going forward, I don't really see anything too super exciting and different than what we've talked about leading up to this point. For your Saturday, we're seeing temperatures moderate. As those temperatures moderate, we're actually increasing our chance for moisture to try and come across the state a little bit sooner. Now, whether it's going to be I-70 north or more in central Indiana, it's just going to be a game time decision. Right now, I'm going to say I-70 north, anywhere from I-70 north, we can see hit and miss. A scattered rain shower action later in your Saturday afternoon and evening, and I definitely think we see clouds increase in a lot of places. By far, the bigger rain totals here nearby, I believe, will be coming across parts of Michigan, but you get the idea. There's a minor disturbance coming through later today and tonight. Now, the fact that it's coming through sooner means that we actually put together a decent Sunday period of clouds and sunshine, definitely colder, and we see some west and northwest winds coming, which means lake effect is going to be a big issue part in northern counties. I think we'll see clouds, but probably not much in the way of lake effect snow. Michigan definitely in line to pick up some on again, off again snow. Monday is sunny and dry. I think we see temperatures moderate a little bit in the afternoon. Tuesday, we're definitely warmer, looking at a surge in warm air into Wednesday as well, but getting cut short. There's cold air to the north over the Great Lakes, and it's just going to kind of yo-yo back and forth right over Indiana and Michigan. So I think we're warmer Tuesday, colder Wednesday, warmer Thursday, probably staying warm into the first part of Friday, then yo-yoing back down, cold Friday night. Moving into the Saturday-Sunday period, or overnight Friday night through Saturday-Sunday, we're seeing a significant weather system come up from the south and west. Track, though, is highly variable yet, and it really appears to me that it's going to be where the warm air and cold air battle lines are drawn. Right now, we think overnight Friday night into Saturday, that warm air-cold air battle is going to be just south of the Ohio River, over parts of Kentucky and Tennessee. So that's where we have the biggest threat of moisture. So I will say at this point, overnight, Friday night through Saturday, I-70 southward needs to keep an eye out for lots of clouds, first of all, but also a threat of moisture. If we are fully in the cold air mass, I think that's going to be wet snow that falls in southern Indiana. At this point, I don't think it's as big of an issue farther north, but through the day Saturday, as this front and system continues to move through, we could see strong north winds develop for that Saturday the 4th, Sunday the 5th time frame, so lake effect could pop up too. Exciting times. I'm Ryan Martin.
This is breaking news. The Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo is sold out. That's right. The massive Grand Park facility in Westfield, Indiana will be crammed with the latest farm equipment and technology December 14, 15, and 16. Free admission, free parking, and easy access make this the best farm show to attend in 2021. Get details at IndianaFarmExpo.com. The Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, presented by Reynolds Farm Equipment, December 14 through 16 at Westfield, Indiana.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, and I hope you had a very happy Thanksgiving with friends and family and enjoyed that Thanksgiving dinner that you probably paid a little bit more for this year than you did last year. That according to a recent Farm Bureau survey.
State Farm Bureau folks went out and collected prices for a 12-item basket to produce a 10-person Thanksgiving supper.
That is new Farm Bureau Chief Economist Roger Cryan.
They found out that the cost was about $53.31, which was up 14% from last year. And a big part of that was the turkey. In fact, a very large part of that was the turkey. The rest of it went up about 6.5%, which is about in line with the latest inflation numbers. But the turkey was up 24%.
In Indiana, a meal for 10 that includes a 16-pound turkey, stuffing, sweet potatoes, rolls, peas, a carrot and celery veggie tray, whole milk, cranberries, whipping cream, ingredients for pumpkin pie, and miscellaneous baking items costs $53.58, or $5.36 per person. In addition to inflation and supply chain issues, Cryan explains why turkey prices went up.
There's been a lot of uncertainty in the markets, as we all know. So the turkey folks held back a little bit on how many turkeys they contracted. Of course, turkey growers in the U.S. don't really set flocks unless they're contracted. So the product prices, those prices were set. The farmers' prices were set in the summer, but these prices went up. The folks who had contracted turkeys gained the benefit.
In the food supply chain, just 8 cents of every consumer food dollar can be attributed to farm production. Using this figure, the farmer's share of this $53.58 market basket would be less than $5. The rest is for food processing, packaging, transportation, wholesale and retail distribution, food service preparation, and other marketing costs. For more details on the survey, visit HoosierAgToday.com. A major learning opportunity for American farmers is back in early 2022. Andy Eubank is here with the preview.
New Orleans is the spot where the traditional Commodity Classic event returns in March of 2022. Registration and housing opened last week for the largest farmer-led and farmer-focused ag event. Brad Doyle, vice president of American Soybean Association, a member of the Classic Planning Committee, and an Arkansas farmer, says when you add the seminars, trade show, and farmer attendees together,
there's so many great ideas. Farmers that share their great ideas. Yeah, we're hoping for a record crowd this year.
Knowing what's really happening in agriculture is an important piece of planning Commodity Classic.
Every year we look at trends, you know, what do we need to bring? What are the farmers wanting? What information would they want that they haven't heard before? So we want to be cutting edge on what we offer. It's also time for industry to bring new products, introductions, whether it would be mechanical sprayers, new tractors, planters, but also herbicide technology, chemicals, and there's a huge biological push. So there's tons of both large and small industry that will be there promoting their product.
What may set this event apart from others is the access farmers have to the behind-the-scenes technicians working for trade show exhibitors.
To give the farmer explanations of why is it better, why is it newer, why do you need to plant it on your farm, what will it save you money, will it increase your profits.
Commodity Classic is March 10, 11, and 12 in New Orleans. A link to more information and registration is at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
All right, Andy, thanks. Corteva's retail exclusive division launched a new line of Enlist E3 soybeans this month. With more, here's Ashley Davenport.
Brevant Seeds released its next generation of germplasm, which will be available for the 2022 season. Kirk Curry, Area Business Development Manager, says that this gives farmers a high-performance choice.
What that means is we're going to be bringing products forward that are improving agronomics, we're getting better disease control, and more yield potential at the end of the day, and all putting that into our Enlist system that we already are using. The whole thing Brevant's around is bringing new to the market, and especially our retail partners, so this is just another example of us bringing new to the market.
As harvest is nearing the end across the country, Curry says that Brevant's performance has been phenomenal for the 18 months it's been on the market.
Whether it's east, west, north, south, it seems like everywhere we look at yield data, we're having phenomenal performance. And we can tell in our order pace because demand has been extremely high. The good news is we've got an extremely deep portfolio, so we still got a lot of options. So if farmers are interested in looking at Brevant, absolutely walk into your retailer and tell them you want to see what the next best thing from Brevant is.
Retailers are taking orders for the 2022 season. For more information or to find your nearest retailer, visit Brevant.com. I'm Ashley Davenport.
Thank you, Ashley. Farm real estate values have jumped sharply higher again. The Federal Reserve Survey of Agricultural Credit Conditions shows that farmland values rose in the third quarter. The value of non-irrigated cropland rose by at least 12% in all of the participating districts in the survey. The rapid increase was consistent in most states, with annual increases of more than 20% in some areas. You can read more on this at HoosierAgToday.com. Still to come here on the weekend show, the EPA keeps kicking the can down the road, and the Indiana Ag Policy Forum will be held next week. This is Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today.
This is Money Minute, financial tips from the experts at AgriFinancial. We're talking with Paul Forrestal, Construction Center Manager with Morton Buildings, and we're talking about financing your next Morton Building project. With harvest wrapping up, this would be a good time to start planning your next project. Paul, getting an early start is a good idea.
There's no time like the present, Gary. It's never too soon to start planning, provided you have the means to do the project and you have the property.
And an early start can make the whole project move a lot quicker?
In most cases, you know, a landowner can talk about what their plans are, and we can help them develop a project so that they can put together all their financing and so that this process can be quicker if they get started sooner.
Paul Forrestal with Morton Buildings. For more information, contact cgb-agfi.com. This has been Money Minute from AgriFinancial.
Seed Genetics Direct does things differently when it comes to corn, soybeans, wheat, alfalfa, and herbicides. First, they publish their prices in their seed guide, so you don't have to deal with incentives that really just lead to higher prices and freebies you don't really need. At Seed Genetics Direct, you get straightforward savings. Plus, all treated corn comes with premium treatment and 100% replant included. Same for treated soybeans ordered by November 10th. So call Todd or Chris Jeffries at 740-505-6545 to get your seed guide with pricing.
He's the closest thing to a superstar we have in agriculture. Machinery Pete, the nation's foremost expert on farm equipment. He knows where to get the best deals and what the best equipment is for your operation. See Machinery Pete in person December 14th, sponsored by Bain Welker Equipment and Farm Credit Mid-America. Also appearing on December 15th, Ag Tech expert Chad Colby with a special program on drones and a chance for you to win a state-of-the-art drone for your farm. It's all happening at the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, presented by Reynolds Farm Equipment, December 14th through 16th in Westfield, Indiana.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. Was it EPA action or inaction? Andy Eubank has a look at the agency and RVOs.
Did the Environmental Protection Agency take action recently on renewable volume obligations by not actually taking any action? One ethanol group says yes, it did. Emily Score, CEO of Growth Energy, says the action EPA took was to essentially create more delay and with it more uncertainty.
What EPA has proposed today is that they want to indefinitely extend the compliance period for all of the outstanding RVO years of 2019 and 20 and 21 and 22. And of course, we don't even have RVOs proposed, let alone finalized, for 21 and 2022. So essentially, this is a giant kick the can down the road. It really accomplishes nothing for us but prolongs uncertainty and instability. And so needless to say, we're pretty frustrated.
Score says what's even more frustrating is that there's no solid timeline for the resolution the biofuels industry needs.
This is a proposal to indefinitely extend. So what we need is we need to see the RVOs for 2021 and 2022. I mean, we're already at the end of November. So in all likelihood, when they do come out with 2021, it's going to reflect the actual blending. Well, that's not what the RFS intended. Okay, you're taking away that market forcing mechanism that we need. So we need the RVOs to come out.
What the biofuels industry doesn't understand is the new administration appeared to be pro-renewable fuels, but their actions aren't matching up.
From the outset, this administration and Mr. Regan have talked about getting the RFS back on track. We all know that means get it out on time, the blending requirements, and let's see that 15 billion gallons of conventional ethanol blending.
The ethanol industry is enjoying a bounce back year in 2021, but Score says they can't keep going ahead without the certainty provided by the renewable fuel standard. I'm Andy Eubank.
The impact to agriculture created by supply chain disruptions, transportation issues, and infrastructure issues will be the topic of conversation Thursday in Fishers at the 2021 Indiana Ag Policy Forum, presented by the Indiana Soybean Alliance and Indiana Corn Growers Association. Mike Steenhook, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, will be one of the featured speakers. Steenhook will discuss the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the $1 trillion infrastructure bill passed by Congress earlier this month.
While this particular bill and the funding that it'll provide, it's not going to be this immediate elixir to, you know, the challenges that we're facing right now. But I think the challenges that we are confronted with, it really serves as a motivation and a catalyst to seeing legislation like this get passed.
Steenhook says it will be critical for the bill to address increasing the capacity of the multimodal infrastructure system to handle the volume of freight from the ag industry and the broader economy, but also making sure it is as resilient and redundant as possible.
And we've had a number of instances this year where you'll have something go awry at one critical juncture of our transportation system, you know, like Hurricane Ida that happened, you know, over the course of the summer, that if something goes wrong there, it can really have a pretty pervasive effect on the industry and the broader economy. So the goal for a lot of the spending that's passed by this infrastructure bill is to really help make our system, you know, obviously increasing the capacity, but also increasing the resilience of our transportation supply chain network.
Hear more from Steenhoek at the Indiana Ag Policy Forum in Fishers on Thursday. More details and a link to register can be found at HoosierAgToday.com. A lesson learned during corn harvest, Andy Eubank explains.
Corn growers may well remember 2021 as a year of awesome opportunities and unforeseen risks. DeKalb Asgrow technical agronomist Jason Harmon characterizes the northern Indiana corn crop in that manner, starting with a decent seed bed, followed by favorable weather in June and a phenomenal pollination season. But June was wet, and in August, the rain events turned off.
And we're really dry, and we watched one of our probably highest crop potential ever years slowly dwindle away just due to the fact that we didn't have moisture to help finish mobilizing nutrients to those kernels that we had set back in July. June moisture really led to fusarium and a lot of these other diseases to be able to take hold of this plant. And they really don't show themselves unless this plant runs into adversity. And that adversity came in two things this year. The first one was drought. And then the second one was diseases, especially tar spot.
Harmon believes this year has taught him a lesson about fungicide use next year.
I think we need to start utilizing our fungicides sooner, and we need to start thinking about why we want to use it sooner. You know, this year showed that we got infected in June because of how late, May, we didn't have that extremely fast growth. So we were sitting out there to the environment. Our seed treatments, they only have so long to last because there's only so much to put on that real estate of that seed. So our plants were, they were opened up to be able to get infected, and they did. So let's clean that plant out. Let's do it on a V5 to V8 time frame, because that's a great time to get fusarium out of that plant so that if we run into adversity late, we will not have a lot of that disease pathogen in our plants to really cause a stalk rot complex.
Jason Harmon with DeKalb, he says be prepared to go with a tassel application of fungicide sooner rather than later next year if we have another really wet June. I'm Andy Eubank.
And that does it for this edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. Be sure to check us out online, HoosierAgToday.com, and tune in each and every weekday to this Hoosier Ag Today station. Time for me to go get all the Christmas decorations up. Have a good weekend. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.